Yep. Hello, all you beautiful and intelligent people out there listening to this radio show. We're back.
Tag team's back again.
And we are going to play some more wonderful tunes for you this week. Yeah, that's my intro. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Oh.
Dang. That's a first. Play the not it game.
Gonna change it up.
Oh.
We didn't introduce ourselves, though.
Oh, crap. I knew I was going to screw it up. I knew that sounded too short.
It's all right.
All right, well. I am Just Donna, here with Mike the Hammer Kid Kladzinski.
Sup? How's it going?
And Jordan B. Sanders.
Hey. Sup?
Hey, how's it going?
Is that good for you now, Jordan?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
We're Order of Tier. Go to orderoftier.com if you haven't already.
All right.
Now
that we've got that in there, let's get the party rolling.
Okay. All right. I could say the word "the," and that was what she said.
Well, it is what she said.
Okay. So I've been doing the past couple times. One of my songs have it be kind of my musical journey from way back when, leading up till now, and this is the third entry in that journey. This is when I started listening to more dark kinds of music, like way darker stuff. Previously, I'd listened to, really heavy stuff, but, and I mean, I guess it, depending on your point of view and how you're thinking or how you approach interpreting things, that may have been dark, but this, lyrically, the things that I listened to got more dark. The imagery that the bands use became darker, and that was just kind of a product of that period in my life, and it just kind of stuck with me, but. This song is a song by Cradle of Filth. It's called Cruelty Brought the Orchids, and it's a...
Oh, snap.
Yeah, it's a really cool song. The thing that I like the most about it is, and I'll have to write down the time when we listen to it to talk about it afterwards, but there's this one really cool part in it where it just, completely changes from what it was doing right before it, and just becomes... It was, really rhythmic before it, and then it becomes just really melodic and sort of atmospheric and almost ethereal sounding. And that kind of, juxtaposition of stuff that's, really heavy and raw and in your face with really, sort of pretty type of music is one of the things that I really like about older Cradle of Filth stuff, and it's what I like about kind of the darker music that I'm into. So this is... Cradle of Filth's Cruelty Brought the Orchids.
Hear me now. All crimes should be treasured if they bring thee pleasure somehow.
Yeah, those are some pretty shocking lyrics.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Totally dark.
Just a little
bit. I was reading through them. They made me a little sick to my stomach, which is probably what the author intended.
Dude, my freaking cats were acting weird. Like, they're acting like they were being called from hell or something. They're, like, doing backflips, and their eyes were turning red. It was really strange.
Yeah, I was going to say the vocals are really bizarre sounding. Like, usually with that kind of music, it's either, like, a deep, throaty growl or, like, a high-pitched scream. But this sounded like... like a pterodactyl was yelling at a T-Rex to keep away from her babies or something.
Yeah, that's one of the things about Cradle of Filth is that the guy that their singer, he's basically driven the band from the beginning. I think, like, now they have some of the guys that they've had previously, like the guitarist and stuff. But he's, like, the only one who's been in the band, I think, the entire time. And so, like, he really drives, like, the imagery of the band and sort of just, like, they try to, to me, it seems like they take each album and they have sort of a theme that they write all the songs around. And, but yeah, I don't really know how I got into them, to be quite honest. It's one of those things where I was probably fascinated by the fact that they were so repulsing to most people, just the fact their name and then a lot of the imagery and stuff. It's like, wow, okay, people don't listen to it because of what it is on the surface. It's like, all right, well, I want to listen to it and see what there is to it. But if you listen to it, there's a lot of really good melodies. And
oh yeah, that freaking main riff, that's, I guess it'd be the main riff, but the I guess it starts around like 1 minute or something. That is awesome.
The one with all the triplets and stuff?
Yeah, all that. That was the song that dude played the piano.
Yeah.
Thing of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I could think about that entire time. And that was like one of the most beautiful freaking things I ever heard.
Oh, absolutely.
And
the part that I was talking about starts around 3:02, and it's where it goes into like the blast beat, and then like there's like really like the keyboard part comes really prominent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, synth voice or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. I just like their sound. Like, their newer stuff is different, and I don't really like it so much, but this song is probably the epitome of what I like about their sound. And some of their older stuff is really cool too. Like, their first few albums, the first couple, like the recordings are really rough, but you get the kind of the idea of what's going on. And a lot of the stuff, like, I've kind of ripped the way that they finish songs a lot. They'll have a part where it's, you know, like, really intense for, like, 6 minutes or something, and then it'll drop. Like, completely the bottom will drop out of it for, like, 30 seconds, and it'll be just, like, a keyboard part or something that builds back up into, like, all the crap coming back in, just even more intense to the end.
Yeah. Yeah, the structure of that song is really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, is, like...
like,
now they're more like a thrash band. It's really weird. And back then, I think they had a lot better songwriting.
Yeah, I guess judging from their image or especially the vocal style and everything, most people will just listen to that and be like, oh, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
I mean, there's like some serious stuff going on. Like, that's not just some simple song with some guy screaming.
Oh right, I know, This may alienate some people, but it's funny because, like, how a lot of people call them black metal, and then a lot of, like, you know, true black metal people are like, they're not black metal. And the thing is, it's funny because they're really not, because real black metal is just what you were saying. It's, like, really simple stuff, like guys that they're just screaming, playing, in my opinion, mostly annoying types of stuff that I don't really care to listen to. And this is a lot more intricate and a lot more interesting. And, and back to the lyrics, it's like, This is an extreme example. I mean, they have other lyrics that are like this, but not all of their lyrics are as crazy as these are, but all of their lyrics are as poetic as these are. And that's one of the things that really draws me into their music is the vocals grow on you after a while with any sort of music. If you stay into it long enough, like, it'll just grow on you. So I kind of like it at this point. At first, obviously, I didn't, but it was listening to the music while reading the lyrics, just seeing what he was saying, you know, it's just, it was the poeticness of it just was really striking to me, and it's something that I kind of identify with really.
Yeah, it definitely is very poetic. you have to concentrate to figure out what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
And then you figure it out and you're like, ew.
Yeah, there are some that are actually worse than that song, even.
I'm sure. That is what I've heard. I haven't listened much Cradle of Filth before, but I've heard that they have some pretty dark and nasty stuff.
Yeah, and some of it's not so bad, though, but it's one of those things where it's just for the shock value of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is it's a very specific niche that they feel.
Yeah, it's working for them. They've definitely got a cult following.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, there was some, oh man, I don't even remember where I saw this. Oh, I do. There's this documentary on Netflix. I don't think it's on streaming. I think you have to get the DVD, but it's a black metal documentary. And,
wow.
But it's with like all of like the quote unquote real black metal bands. So, you know, they're not in it. But one of the guys on there, I guess, knows Danny Filth, who's the singer. He's the guy who drives the band. So he knows him. And, like, this was, like, years ago. They were talking, like, after a show or something and said something about, oh, I don't know what it was. Something about you're not being true to the music or something like that. And he said, his response was, yeah, but no, in the end, people don't care about, you know, being true to the music. They care about being entertained, basically.
Yeah.
And so that's what his goal is to entertain people and to, you know, give people what they want. And that's not how it was actually framed in the documentary. The way the documentary framed it made it sound like he was just trying to make money, which he probably is, you know, and there's nothing wrong with, that's the thing that I hate about like these true metal people, the black metal stuff, all that. It's like, they think that if you're really trying to make money with music, that's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, especially guys like this, because if you look at what they've done with their art, you can tell that they put effort and real intensity into it. It's not just throwing crap down on paper, playing a guitar riff, playing some fast drums, and that's it. I mean, it's thought out. And that's what upsets me about this whole idea that, you know, it's not good to try to make money with music. I mean, it's fine as long as you're trying to be true to the music as well. Mm-hmm. They're not mutually exclusive.
Be true to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
To yourself be true.
Exactly. We know all about that.
We do.
Pretty much.
All right, next song.
Next song.
Not it.
I'll go.
Okay, hit me, strike me, slay me!
All right. My first song for the radio show is by A Perfect Circle. It's called Three Libras. And this is one of those songs that I feel like the lyrics just are amazing. They're my favorite kind of lyrics because it's one that I feel like kind of defines a moment, certain moments in my life. And anytime I hear it, it takes me back to those times and elicits a lot of strong feelings that are so eloquently portrayed by the lyrics and the feel of the music. And those are really my favorite kinds of songs.
I agree.
Plus, Maynard James Keenan's voice from Tool originally is amazing. It's like so haunting, and it's not like a typical music scene type voice, and I really love that quality about it. So here it is, Three Libras by A Perfect Circle.
Truly, you're the only
Yeah, I forgot how much I really liked that song. I really like the way Maynard spreads lyrics out across phrases. Like, they're not, it's not ever normal. I mean, what you would expect it to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, they always write songs in interesting key signatures as well.
Yeah.
Which makes it unique to listen to.
Yeah, I've never actually heard that song before. I was impressed. I mean, I've heard some of their stuff, and, you know, some, not much. But I like how a lot of it feels progressive, whether or not it actually is progressive. When I say progressive, I mean, you know, odd time signatures. I mean, like the beginning there, it felt like it was an odd time signature, but it really wasn't if you're counting it in two. It's right. Just weird groupings of rhythms.
Right.
And that's really cool because I think the good thing about that is the way that they do it makes it a lot more accessible than like most progressive rock or progressive metal bands do. It's okay that the bands that do the more crazy stuff, but I like how they make a good blend of a more of a progressive type of feel, but still they're really melodic and it's really an accessible type of song.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's like a gateway drug, you know, like people give them the Tool in the perfect circle, and then we'll take it out the slippery slope of all these other, you know, less known progressive bands.
Yeah, I think bands like Dream Theater are more of like a musician's band, but, you know, like a Perfect Circle and Tool, I think they're better at hiding that progressiveness and making it more understandable to people.
I think that's a really good way to put it. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
And I also really like the timbre of Maynard's voice. Not to make it all about him or anything, but it's so smooth, and you can just tell there's like so much emotion behind it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's like he's holding it back too. It's like it's just right there behind what he's singing. It's like right. If he let it go, he'd probably be screaming or something. But he's holding it back, and he's just singing with that intensity behind it.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Next song?
Yeah, I think it's your turn, brother.
All right. So I'm kind of stealing a little bit of your idea, Jordan B., Jebatuya, Jables, Triggles, Vortiger, and Sanders. So back in the day, they used to have these local shows at the skate park of Memphis. And this song was one of my first exposures to more, I guess, technical music. I guess it's kind of progressive a little bit. But it is Crossing the Rubicon by The Human Abstract. It could be kind of metalcore, but...
Nothing wrong with metalcore, man. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now. There's nothing wrong with metalcore. There's nothing wrong with any kind of music if you like it. That's all music's about.
Exactly. I agree. It's kind of metalcore, but it's also kind of progressive, so I guess it's like a good little mix of that. And it was before this band like actually got signed, and they were, you know, cruising around in a truck, whatever. And I guess it was probably one of the first CDs I bought at a show, and I still pop it in every once in a while. Well, you know, figuratively speaking, of course I have MP3s now, but but yeah, this is Crossing the Rubicon by The Human Abstract.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know why you like that band.
Hit me.
The vocals are borderline Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
I know that's not the only reason, but I really caught that, especially toward the end. But no, that song's really cool. I like around about minute 30, there's this crazy breakdown. Like, they're playing those rhythms so fast in that breakdown. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's I laughed just because of how fast it was, but it sounded cool. I liked it. And then of course, I really liked how it broke out to that clean guitar toward the end.
Yeah, that album has a lot of acoustic work on it, actually. That's... do lots of trading off like that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, I like that kind of stuff. I don't think there's any reason to be ashamed of liking that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was listening to it. I was like, wow, this is my favorite kind of music to work out to. So this is metalcore. I approve.
Yeah, I guess it would be more progressive metalcore or something. I don't know. Those genres are so stupid.
It doesn't even matter. It's music. Do you like it? Do you not?
Right. Exactly.
There totally were people arguing about the genre in the YouTube comments, though.
Yeah. I saw the first few. I was like, whatever.
Yep.
That's all YouTube is, a bunch of trolls.
I think it's cool you saw them at the skate park.
Oh, yeah. When I first saw them, nobody knew who they were. And they sounded that tight live, too.
Dang.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Didn't have really good acoustics.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure none of the bands I ever saw at the skate park got signed or got beyond like 100 views on video on YouTube.
Yeah, like I bought a CD one time like years after I saw them, and there was like a little an ad in it for that CD like a few years later, and I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Man, maybe it was like a label picked them up and re-released it or something.
Yeah.
Man, that's good stuff, though. I like that. All right. Are we moving on?
Yep.
All right. So I had another song picked out to play. And when we were listening to A Perfect Circle, I realized that picking Cradle of Filth as the next point in my musical history or evolution or whatever you want to call it, actually skipped a major point that I don't know how in the world I skipped.
Yeah,
but I'm here to correct that.
I just thought about that picture with the eggs.
Oh.
I totally watched that video again tonight.
Oh, yeah.
If there's anyone out there who has not watched the Hammer Clogs, you got to go and watch those videos right now.
Do it. So,
all right, back to Jordan's song.
No, that's cool. So like the first two songs that I did were like really rhythmic and heavy and stuff. And then something happened that switched the melody light on in my head. And this was pretty much the band that did it. And this was like my favorite band for the longest time. And it took 3 albums in a row. 3 pretty shoddy albums in a row for me to finally realize that they died to me. I like them that much. Yeah.
I'm excited.
So this isn't necessarily my favorite song by them, but I think this song sort of typifies their sound, and it's a really good song. I really like it. It's anyway, the band is In Flames, and this song is called Swim, and it's a I don't know. It's from their album called Clayman, which doesn't have a bad song on it at all whatsoever. A lot of people say that the album before Clayman, which is called Colony, was better, but I don't necessarily agree with. Actually, I don't agree with that at all. Yeah, I really like In Flames up until and even including their album Reroute to Remain. But after that, it was just all completely downhill. It was just not good. I mean, they have good songs here and there, but nothing that resembles like a tight, good album, in my opinion. I mean, if other people are digging it, that's awesome. And I hope they are. I hope they're, you know, getting a whole new crowd of fans, because like I really like them. And I got to see them play live, which was cool, down in Atlanta. I was like right at the stage. That was amazing. But anyway, this song's called Swim by In Flames.
really like that band, Jordan, and it's your fault.
To them. They're really awesome band up until like the last 3 to 4 albums they've put out.
Man, freaking that just makes me want to do backflips all over the place. Like, I don't even know what it is. Like, I don't even know.
It's another awesome metal band from Sweden.
Well, apparently that's how they make them over there.
I was thinking that same thing, though. I was thinking, man, I really like this band, but I can't put my finger on exactly what it is about them that's so awesome.
Like, I don't, right from the get-go, I was just wanted to stand up and start punching things. I was so excited.
I think the thing about this album, it's like, it's really the pinnacle of their music in that it's extremely well produced and the writing is just phenomenal. I mean, the melodies are incredible and the melody drives everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, even to the point of making the vocals sort of backseat to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really like how, usually I like it when the vocals stand out, but there are also times when I like it, like such as with them, where, you know, it's kind of like, it's just another instrument.
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah. It doesn't take the center stage the entire time.
That must be why I like them, because there are very few bands that I like that have all screaming vocals. Mm-hmm. But I do like them. And yeah, I don't really notice the vocals as much as the rest of the music.
Yeah, they really have... I mean, it's just the... I know I keep saying melody, 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 but I mean, that's the big thing about them, and melody and the harmony too, you know, and they have everywhere, they have tertiary harmony, and you'd think it would get old, but it really doesn't. I don't know why. So, and that's where I get that in all the writing that I do. It's totally ripped from In Flames.
Sweet.
One of my favorite bands ever. I mean, even if they continue to put out crap, I mean, there's nothing that's going to undo the awesome music that they have put out. And so
that's exactly
right. I'll remember them for that.
Yeah.
I think I saw them live too. Weren't you there, Jordan? Didn't they?
No, that was actually, I was going to go to that show, but I had ear surgery and I wasn't able to go.
Oh, yeah. Lindsay went.
It was them, Soilwork, and Killswitch Engage, right?
Yeah. That was a good show.
Oh, yeah. I was going to go to that too. I don't remember why I didn't. Dead motherless.
Totally almost got punched in the face in the mosh pit there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good band. That's where I'll leave it.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah, so is it my turn now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I really want to get a sample of that just so we can put it all over the place.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway.
I definitely think that should be done. Mm-hmm. All right. So my next song is by Breaking Benjamin. It's called Breathe. And this is another one where the lyrics really get me. I'm on like an unrequited love streak. Or at least that's how I interpret the lyrics to both the songs I chose for tonight. And I don't know, I just really enjoy those songs that make you feel something profound, or at least remind you of something you once felt. Most songs can make you feel something, but very few of them can get at those feelings that most people tend to bury. So both these songs kind of bring that out for me. They both express something I couldn't express through any other outlet but music. And yeah, so that's why I like it. So here's Breathe by Breaking Benjamin.
I
I really like the walk down in that chorus. I'm a sucker for stuff like that. Yeah, I really like the way that the chorus juxtaposes itself against the verse.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of anything Breaking Benjamin did until the album that this came off of. I think, I'm not sure if it was their latest one or not, but some of their early stuff is not as melodic, I don't think.
Yeah, I really like it. The entire song, the melody, the whole way through the song was really catchy. Like, when it was just the pre-chorus, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's not even the chorus.
One thing, though, that I could not get over is, like, looking in the video, the picture of them, the dude up front, I don't know why, but he sort of reminds me of Peter Steele from Typo Negative. I don't know, it was just weird, because, like, the way his eyes look, and I don't know, it was strange. I couldn't get over it. It was, like, creeping me out. I mean, not creeping me out, but it was just, like, one of those things where, like, think about it, and you can't quit thinking about it because you just thought about it, you know what I mean?
You can't unsee it.
Yeah, exactly. Which is nothing wrong. I like Typo Negative. And it's a bummer that Peter Steele died, but that was just weird to me.
Indeed. Now we definitely have to link to that particular video.
Yeah, exactly.
So everyone can see what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, it looks like it's on a whole lot of Breaking Benjamin videos. So if you search Breaking Benjamin on YouTube, you're bound to see that picture.
Probably.
Probably.
So, yeah.
Next song.
Next song.
Next song. All right. So conveniently. Last song, right? Yeah, last song. Conveniently, I have picked a depressing song like everybody else.
Yes!
Yeah, I know. It's like the common thing. Like, you can tell we're on the same wavelength, even though we didn't even discuss this at all. By the way, we don't discuss this music at all before we listen to it.
No, it's a surprise to all of us.
Yes. We don't even know what we're talking about, so yeah.
It's a secret to everyone.
Yeah. Even me until, you know, like an hour before, so.
Yeah, same.
Okay, so this song... It was written by the drummer of Avenged Sevenfold 3 days before he died. And basically, he recorded like a demo version of it. And he died, and you know, they went through this whole grieving process, whatever, and then decided that they were going to release this album that they had been working on. And so they when they recorded this song, they actually used some of his recorded stuff. He sang all of it, and so they were able to salvage the chorus and a couple other sections. So some of his vocal work sounds a little processed, but it's kind of, you know, just because they tried to salvage as much of it as they could. But this is Fiction by Avenged Sevenfold.
Thank you.
I know I'm way out of touch with Avenged Sevenfold's music because, like, the only album I ever really listened to was Unholy Confessions, but that does not seem like an Avenged Sevenfold song to me.
No, not really.
Wait, what happened to the guy who died?
He had an enlarged heart, but he basically died from a mixture of alcohol and prescription drugs or something.
Man, that's sad.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the song was good. I mean, I really liked the way that the piano did stuff with the chromatics and whatnot. I was surprised to hear that song. It's just, that doesn't seem like an Avenged Sevenfold song to me. But again, not to say that it's not a good song. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, that was just something that he wrote, and they played it.
So it's not really an Avenged Sevenfold song.
I guess not.
I mean, it is. But
he gave it to them after he wrote it, and he recorded the demo or whatever. He's like, yeah, this is like nothing we have ever done before, but hear me out on this one.
Was he the normal writer of the songs for that band?
No, he wrote some of them. He's one of those freaks of nature that could play anything. Like he played piano and guitar and drums. So
what's your take on that song, Hammer Cake?
I mean, music, like I'm a sucker for piano parts like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like emotional piano playing, and I really wish I could play like that. That is one of my goals here in the near future. I think that'll aid us especially. But as far as that song goes, like I don't know. It's just one of those things that's like that entire album. Like it's you can tell they're through the lyrics and everything. It's like you can tell their healing process going through the album. As far as, you know, like at first it's like anger and then sadness and then kind of acceptance and that kind of thing. But I don't know, that song just like, to me, it just has so much emotion behind it. And the biggest thing to me is in music, you want to be able to convince somebody else of your emotions. And I think, at least for me, like I'm really convinced of that emotion through that song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost palpable, you know, just how intense the emotions were in it. I mean, that's what I got from it. And for me, that's, you know, I wasn't really that big into that band, so to me that wasn't as big of a thing. But, you know, listening to the song makes it feel like a bigger thing to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and I know, like, they're one of those bands that they take a lot of crap, and, you know, I mean, obviously they're pretty mainstream or whatever, so, you know.
I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Do you like the music, do you not like the music?
Right, but, you know, a lot of, like, metal people, they shun them or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I shun metal people.
Yeah, just for being popular, but, you know, I mean, I really, really respect them for, they have a documentary, just them interacting for an hour and a half. And whenever they would write music for any other albums, they would go to the same basement in the singer's house, in his parents' house, to write all the albums.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, they just always, they have this huge sense of family. And especially since they've all known each other since like grade school. So the fact that album that they actually put it out, you know, it's, I really respect them for doing that and sticking through that.
That's cool.
Man, yeah. I'm so super bummed.
Yeah, I know, totally. It's like, I don't know what to say because I'm like, oh, I just feel really down about it.
We could sing Happy Happy Joy Joy. That's a good song.
That is a good song. Whatever happened to Ren and Stimpy?
Dude, they're making new Ren and Stimpies, and they're even more vulgar than you can even possibly imagine.
What?
Well, I've watched some of the old ones that I saw as a kid, and I'm pretty amazed my parents allowed me to watch that.
Oh, dude. I cannot believe that show existed on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
What?
A lot of shows were like, Rocco's Modern Life was the same way.
Oh,
was,
I know, and I didn't even realize it until just recently. I watched it on Netflix, and it was like, what?
Exactly.
How did they put this on TV?
Well, it just shows you what kids don't even realize is happening, and people just don't need to make a big deal about it, because it didn't change me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Sweet. Another good radio show.
Indeed.
Success.
All right. So do we need to plug some stuff, or did we already do that?
I'll do some plugs. If you didn't hear at the beginning of the show, our website is orderoftier.com. Not exactly sure how you would be hearing this and not know about orderoftier.com. But in case you don't, orderoftier.com is our website. You can jump off from there to all of our other web presences. We're on Facebook, which is facebook.com/orderoftier, twitter.com/orderoftier, identica.com/orderoftier, flickr.com/orderoftier, and there are a bunch of others. music.orderoftier.com, go listen to our music for free. I think that's
announcement. Memphis Comic Con.
Oh yeah, totally. This may be weird if you listen to this after the fact, but if you're listening before the fact, we are actually going to have a an exhibitor booth at Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention, which happens October 14th through 16th, 2011, in Memphis, Tennessee. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn on the U of M campus. Also, we are going to play. We're not sure which night we're going to play yet, but we will be performing at Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention. So if you were in town for that, come by our booth, hang out with us, and if you're going to be around all weekend, check us out. We're going to play. It's going to be some fun times, I think.
Mm-hmm. Pwning some noobs. I don't think.
I know. What did you say?
It's pwning some noobs. We aren't even taking names. We're just killing them all.
Man, see, here's the thing I have against pwning noobs, right? Is like, we all used to be noobs, so I don't want to pwn noobs. I want to make noobs not noobs. I guess that's pwning noobs, right?
That's exactly right.
You fight the noobness out of them.
We're pwning their noob nature.
Yeah, that's right. We're destroying the noobness.
They will no longer be law casuals. They will be pros.
We're gonna pwn their noobness into leetness.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's good enough.
All right, well, I'll sign us out then. This is just Donna from Order of Tear, along with Mike the Hammer K.
Yeah!
And Jordan B. Sanders, also known as Vortigern Triggle.
I think I'm just going to go with the Jordan B. Sanders. It's just too long with everything.
Just else. Jordan B. Sanders in that case.
All right, later, guys.
Deuces.
See you guys later.
Take it easy. You don't know where my mommy shops.
Get there. This is the final blow.